And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Curry driving again. God! Are you kidding me?
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night. I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a breaking edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast for the week. Tim Kawakami is with me. The trade deadline is now 37 minutes over. I'm on the East Coast, 3:37 here, but I know it is 12:37 back there. And there was some action.
Flurry.
Yes. The Warriors traded Corey Joseph to the Pacers, who, by the way, they're playing tonight. They're in Indianapolis. For a second rounder, which, you know, it isn't a fake second rounder. It will convey it's whatever of the Pacers' many second round picks that they're getting this year is the worst. So, you know, you're talking about probably a mid to late second round pick. Sent some cash, saved $11 million in tax by getting Joseph's contract off the books. Roster spot opens. Maybe that's Lester Quinones. But again, that's not going to, you know, rattle the airwaves in the Bay Area and make them stop talking about the Super Bowl. The core is intact. That is the story. None of the veterans are gone. They're moving into the rest of the season, trying to win whatever they can with this team and then figure it out in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I bet you when they're calling around, there's one player that, you know, if they could make a significant move, they were asking, teams were asking for one player. It's Jonathan Kuminga, and they are not trading Jonathan Kuminga. So, you know, I can imagine the Warriors thinking, hey, you know, we can move Wiggins. If we can move Wiggins and we can get an equal talent back, that's fine. We certainly would subtract a lot of money. And what the other team probably said, okay, but then give us Kuminga. Or they get involved with somebody on a, you know, lesser deal. And that other team said, that's great, give us Kuminga. They're just not doing it. And or, you know, maybe first round picks, and they're probably not doing that. You know, we kept talking about it and talking about it. Pascal Siakam was the best thing that we could see on the board for them, and they couldn't get involved with that. And likely was because Indiana was ready to pay him a max if they traded for him, and the Warriors probably weren't going to be there. So this has all kind of been set for the last week or so, I'd say, 2 weeks later since Wiggins and Kuminga started playing well together, and they don't.
Yeah, that was a big thing, because I think there was more of an appetite to trade Wiggins when he was blocking Kuminga's way. And when there was, you were having the Denver game where when Kuminga's grumbling after the game, it's because Kerr stayed with Wiggins down the stretch and was even talking postgame about how they can't play together. Draymond coming back has changed that calculus. Andrew Wiggins was still out there up until today, you know, as far in trade discussions, the returns were underwhelming, you know. Mostly, you know, the players they would have got back to the point that, you know, it probably would have made them slightly worse this season. You know, we'll see what Wiggins is. I mean, he's been better lately, probably the last month or so. We obviously had a good game in Philly. I think there's earned skepticism that this core is going anywhere this season, but I also just don't think moves were necessarily out there that was going to do that much. Now, you know, and Shams reported this, and I've since heard the same. They called on Alex Caruso today. They called on various others.
But guess what Caruso would have cost?
Yeah.
Cost Jonathan Kuminga plus, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, you're probably talking first rounders. I mean, there's a way to maybe get it done. From what I heard, they basically shut down calls on Kuminga over the last couple of weeks. So, you know, I mean, I know there's probably a level of disappointment from people who had an appetite to try to maximize – you know, this team, but I think there was also part of, like, you know, if you give up a first rounder this year, I just felt there wasn't a desire or a belief that, like, you know, this team can suddenly go just, you know, toe to toe with the Nuggets in the West Finals and just needed one more rotation piece to get over the hump.
Exactly. I think there's three things. It's like they've already don't have their 24 draft pick, right? Because that was given up and when they had to get off of Iguodala's salary way back in the Durant stuff. So any, you know, any pick they're giving up is way off into the future, not as valuable. Plus, they don't want to start trading all these multiple number ones at this point, the end of the Steph Curry era. You might want your first round draft picks at that point. Two, you know, they decided they didn't need to come off of money. Like that was a Joe Lacob decision. Like he could have said, $400 million is too much for this, right? The nine seed, is that what you're looking at? The 10 seed, he could have said that. So many owners would say that. Many owners wouldn't have gone to $400 million. You could say it was rash to go to $400 million with this roster. They went there. They could have said, you know what? It's time to back off of this and traded Chris Paul for nothing. Traded, you know, see what Clay could have been. See what Wiggins could get you. That was all out there. They decided not to come off of money. I think they decided, like, listen, let's make this decision in July.
Yeah, to me, the big financial thing that could have been done is to try to get off Wiggins for like expirings and maybe attach a pick and get expiring. So you're just like, you're really shedding money into the future. But the truth is, part of the reason they kept Paul and kept Clay, but particularly Paul, is because it will help them save money in the future. It will help them duck the second apron, because you would have still traded Paul today with a pick and you're still getting money back, even if you're giving money up. So the other one would have been Looney. That would have been the one where, you know, if you were to trade Looney, for example, Washington had like a $10 million trade exception. You shed him for nothing. That would have been like $50 million in savings or something like that. Like that would have been the really financially based move. But the truth is, I think they kept their financial flexibility available today, number one. And two, like Corey Joseph saves 11. Draymond suspensions have saved them, you know, I don't know, 15 or whatever. But, you know, that's not a critique of Joe Lacob's financial willingness, because he spent more than just about anybody ever in the NBA. But I do think part of today was about financial flexibility.
Yeah, and I'll say the third piece of that is, do they think that, one, they have some shot this season? And I think the last week, certainly this road trip has them thinking, you know what, you get in there, you got Steph Curry, let's see. Doesn't mean you're going to win the championship, but let's see. Could they knock off the 3 seed or, you know, whatever, like they did last year, and give themselves some idea? Do what the Lakers did last year as the, what were the Lakers, 9? The 9 or whatever that they were, 8, whatever the hell they were.
They got all the way up to 7, but they won the 7-8.
They were playing a play-in team. Could the Warriors do something similar? And also, like, maybe Wiggins is worth this money, right? I mean, the way he's playing, somebody's going to have to go guard Tyrese Maxey the way he did last night. Somebody has to guard all those guys. They don't really have an option. With GP2 hurt, GP2 is often hurt. You can't count on GP2 to be that guy. And Austin, you know, he isn't going to be playing 35 minutes a game. He's just not. So theoretically, Wiggins, like you get rid of Wiggins, and I understand why you would. He played terrible to start the season. But you'd go be looking for a guy like Wiggins, like you really would be. And unless you can get Caruso would be value back, right? No question, but they're not getting Caruso for Andrew Wiggins. You're no chance. So I get all those things. You know, they could use a young player who could do that. They really could. They don't have, you know, Cason Wallace. That would be such an ideal Warrior. Like third guard, can guard anybody 1 through 3 and hit a shot and go upwards. They don't have that. That's not what they've got. They've got some other interesting pieces, but you give up Wiggins and you don't get a guy like him back, the first thing you're doing is looking for another Wiggins. It's just the fact.
I'd say that the trade package today that would have intrigued me most, like, you know, if Wiggins could have become Bogdanovich and Burks, you know, which is what the Knicks got, and maybe you would have had to, you know, obviously, you know, the Pistons did that because they got Quentin Grimes, a cheap, controllable young player. Wiggins is not that. Now, would Moody appeal like a Quentin Grimes would appeal? Would a first rounder maybe? I mean, that's the type of bigger move that, you know, you kind of shake around the core of your rotation a little bit more. But, you know, again, like I said, does that make you go toe-to-toe with the Nuggets come West Final?
Yeah. They got a lot of things. They could really use shooting. I mean, you watch this team, and if Clay's not shooting it well, it's Steph, and literally we saw it's only Steph a couple games ago. Yeah. They are not a good shooting team. You think of the Warriors as this 3-point spread it out, fire from it, it's one guy this year. And that is really problematic with all these other things we talk about, but they weren't getting that in this. Like Buddy Hield, could they have gotten Buddy Hield? I don't know. And he's a free agent anyway. You know, these are all things I think I'm sure you're hearing it more than I am, but I'm hearing a little bit. It's about next season. A lot of this is like, make no move that's going to screw up next season. That literally could be the last run. That really, really, we've talked about this forever, but that literally could be the last one. And, you know, does this Andrew Wiggins next season better than not having Andrew Wiggins? Probably. I wouldn't have said that 3 weeks ago when I predicted he'd be traded, but he's played better. He's played with Kuminga, and there's just no deal there where they get a better player or even, you know, two pieces that add up to a better thing than Andrew Wiggins. Make the decision, you know, in July, and maybe you make it to keep him, maybe you make it to trade him. But I think this is what they just pushed it to July, feeling half good about this season, sort of, and mostly pointing towards the next season.
We should talk about the Chris Paul situation because, you know, the way the team is playing without him currently, and the fact that he is a $30 million expiring, which, like I said, you know, you attach any asset, you could probably go get yourself different type of mid-rotation pieces, maybe a big, whatever. But the truth is, on Paul's contract is almost it is more valuable than just a straight expiring. It's an expiring that can get you, you know, below the second apron, depending on what you got to give Clay or what, you know, if you give Clay anything. But also, it is this $30 million non-guaranteed next year, which can be completely wiped away, or it can be used via trade in the summer, and you basically can guarantee, you would guarantee Chris Paul's salary number up to the, you know, the amount you have to do in to trade it. So it's a very versatile trade vehicle potentially. Who's to say if it's going to be used or not? You know, you, I guess you could almost compare it to like a trade exception, like a $30 million trade exception essentially. But that, you know, as what you're talking about, like the fact that that eyes kind of are on next season in some ways, like his versatility as either a guy that, by the way, they could bring back on a cheap number if like, he plays well to end the season.
Absolutely.
A guy they could just let walk and get wiped 30 off the books, or a guy that they can use for almost any amount of money up to 30 in a trade. It's that's something I think they wanted to protect. And there could be, I understand, criticism about it, but there's reasons for some.
And they kind of like him on the court. And Warriors fans wince at that. And I understand some of this, but he played well when he was healthy. Doesn't mean he's going to play well when he comes back. Doesn't mean he'll stay healthy. But they really liked what he did when he was on the court. And, you know, you go maybe Kuminga, Paul, Pajemski, you know, that unit as a second unit. Like, that's pretty interesting. And, you know, is that worth $30 million this year, 30, whatever the hell he's making? And probably not, but it's better than not having him. And the option, you know, the optionality it gives you into the season. Like, who's to say like you couldn't get him back for like 2 years, $50 million next year or less? You know, I'm not saying they could, but like you have the option to try to look at that. And I think it would be about the same kind of thing for Clay. Like Clay is possibly going away for nothing. He possibly could be, sign and trade to a team that's over the cap, or he possibly could be, you sign him for 2 years and, you know, whatever they were talking about early, you know, during the summer. And he didn't like that number, but that's what the number is. It's not going to be 35. That is, I always laugh.
That number ain't the number no more.
Yeah, MT's in here. MT's here.
Going down. Yeah. Yeah. But I just like that. I think that context on Paul and that, just what his contract actually is with next year's, $30 million non-guarantee is important. Marcus Thompson. Were you riveted by the Corey Joseph for a late second rounder? Did that rattle you when you heard about it?
I wasn't riveted. I was a little hurt. I felt it was a personal attack on me because I like talking to Corey Joseph.
He's a nice
Corey
guy.
Joseph
guy.
Was one of the best guy. Dudes in the locker room.
He's like a
man.
Normal guy. He's like a normal
yes.
guy. He's a normal guy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Corey's a good dude. I'm like, come on, man. You can't be taking away the dudes who talk.
But at least they didn't make him have to take a flight. He's crossing the locker room tonight.
Immediate revenge game. Immediate revenge game. Fight won't pass a physical right away.
Maybe, he's going for 40. No, it's not happening. If you're a Warriors fan, you've got to be pretty disappointed. But also, they didn't really like Corey Joseph anyway, so it's a addition.
What you're talking, yeah, look, nobody's, I don't even think, cares too much about
not
that.
Not they, as in the Warriors. I mean, like, Warriors fans.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The
yeah,
people
yeah.
who are complaining about it.
Well, Marcus, what is your, do you think fans should feel upset that the core that was here yesterday is here today? The 11th seed that was here yesterday is here today?
Yeah, I do. I think there should be a little bit of disappointment. And I understand it wasn't much out there, but I think sometimes we could just presume like from a seat, like, yeah, man, that dude, will he really change it? Like, you don't know, right? So you can't say the answer is no on all of them. If there are like five guys you could have gotten, you know, maybe there's a chance two of them actually does something you could like. I mean, I'm sure last year people would have said Jared Vanderbilt doesn't really help the Lakers that much, right? But so to me, that they didn't take a swing on any of the possibles. Like, obviously none of it was going to make them number one in the West. But to me, perhaps you take a swing on one, right, just to see what it does. I mean, presuming it doesn't cost you something.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about, but to me, the one to potentially trade in the scenario you're talking about is Paul, because right now he's not, you know, he's hurt. He's not helping, where you could turn him into rotation help, maybe bigger rotation, like a wing, big. Yeah, that.
If you really like Pajemski and Quiñones, you can go without Paul. There's no question. I mean, you could. They've been doing it. But I would imagine this was one, you know, Steve Kerr is not too enthused about moving off of Chris Paul, and we can argue that all the way around. But, yeah, that's the one where you, like, he's been replaced. Like, in the rotation for now, he's been replaced. There's some people who haven't been replaced, or they would really need it. And Chris Paul is somebody who essentially has been replaced. Maybe, you know, you wouldn't want that in a playoff series with Pajemski and Quiñones or whoever else you're going to put in there. But I can see, like, that's just money. Like, that's a money proposition. But I can also see the Warriors thinking, man, this guy, like, we might want him next season. Like, one more run with this. If he's willing,
I don't know if that's their decision, TK.
Well, no, it's not. But you see him chatting away with Draymond.
Especially if he's been replaced in the lineup.
Yeah, that's, well, you assume he's getting. But hear what I'm saying? Like, he's chatting away on the bench all game long. He and Draymond are smiling and talking. It's like, you heard Draymond, you know, having Paul on his podcast. They're like saying, we're the best teammates ever. Like, I know a lot of this is surface and it doesn't mean something, you know, most is significant when you're making deals, you're putting together a roster, but I think they really like him. I mean, I think that's very obvious.
Yeah, I am curious how, like, when he comes back, he's injected into the lineup, because I do see value for him in, like, the 12 non-Steph Curry minutes, but also, like, if this starting lineup, it continues to play well, and it's closing lineup, it's not just the starting lineup.
And then you break it up.
Are you willing to continually, like you're doing with Klay Thompson at times, just placing Chris Paul in the bench, or having nights where it's like, Chris Paul, you're healthy, you're playing 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Although, yeah, he might be closing instead of Clay, by the way. Like, that's, you could see that. It did happen. He did close at the start of the season. It wasn't over Clay, but he did close over Wiggins or whoever it was he was closing over. I guess it was over Looney, right?
Well, it needs to be night to night, and that's the big thing. And that's what they're signaling they're going to do.
Yeah, you got Clay, Pajemski, Paul, Moody. Could all close and
for one spot.
Exactly. It is one spot. GP2 would be in there too if you need a stopper.
One spot is two.
What do you mean?
Are you
Wiggins?
Okay. Well, I think Wiggins is in. I think Wiggins is in.
You're
there.
Right. I mean, like,
yeah, it is Wiggins.
I think Gary could replace Wiggins, but you do need that second perimeter defender that I don't think, like, a Clay, a Pajemski, Chris Paul necessarily are.
I was just watching guard Maxey, and I'm like, this guy, when he's playing like that, is really hard to replace.
He was in a good mood yesterday, too. He was smiling on the court. He was happy post-game.
He probably knew. They probably told him.
I know. He's really happy now.
His agent was in the building, and there was definitely indications by yesterday that's like, I don't think it's going to happen. So you're probably right. I mean, not that he knew 100%, because there was some nerves leaving that locker room from him, from Looney even a little bit. But I agree. And I think he knew he put a nice little final stamp on, like, don't trade me.
It just is what he does. Yeah, Tyrese Maxey might have had a bad night anyway, but Tyrese Maxey was not involved in that game, and he had to be, and they just put Wiggins on him, reminded me of the 22 playoffs. I mean, we're a long ways from there, and he's done a lot. He's played some really not good basketball between now and then, but Luka Doncic, go put Wiggins on him. You know, Jason Tatum, go put Wiggins on him. Like, that's really important. And I'm not saying that he's for sure that anymore, but he's, what, 28? He's not, like, old. The fact that they can do that, small sample size, he did it last night. He's done it for two or three games now. Yeah, you keep him. You know, you keep him. You like him. He's a good guy. And then, you know, you make a decision on it in July.
Yeah, I keep Wiggs. I just don't know that you can replace Wiggs in this market. To me, it's like Pascal Siakam. I don't know. I probably wouldn't have pulled the trigger for OG before, you know, but watching with the Knicks, yeah, I can see doing
that.
Well,
let me ask y'all, because Dallas was one of the teams that had kicked the tires on Wiggins. They gave up Grant Williams and Seth Curry to Charlotte for P.J. Washington. Well, you know, P.J. Washington's in the Wiggins realm.
At the bottom of it.
Yeah, but not making it.
Well, that's what I mean. So you guys are going, man. Yeah. So I'm not saying P.J. Washington. What about the Grant Williams, Seth Curry package? You know, these are the type of things we're talking about.
I'd rather them get who Dallas got. It's Daniel Gafford. To me, that's the guy you could. Now, the salaries are weird.
Well, that wouldn't have been for Wiggins.
It wouldn't have been for Wiggins. But
that might have been for,
to
like
me, that's the
like
type
that.
Of move where you're like, man, because you have figured out a way to get a legit 7-foot rim protector who could finish at the rim.
Yeah, that would have been like Looney plus, you know, you would have had to add a future asset.
You'd had to add because he's at like 12, you know. I was looking to see what they could have done. And the only like easy solution was to dump Chris Paul there. But that's hilarious considering he came from there.
Oh, no, you could do something like Looney Moody for Daniel
Looney
Gafford.
Moody, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're giving up two – I don't know if you're giving up two pieces for Daniel Gafford.
I think when people start to actually look at what the trade possibilities were in this market, like, they just – they weren't that great. Like, just –
Royce O'Neal, you know, I mean, yeah, you know, there's that. Those were the players that were available. Like Jeremy Grant didn't move. You know, Caruso didn't move.
Like
you know?
A lot of players. Like Chicago. What is Chicago doing, by the way?
They like
Chicago's
going
to keep everybody.
They like
they're
their team.
Keep everybody.
Yeah, and want trying to get Jonathan Kuminga for Alex Caruso is what they're trying to do, which that would have been a great move, Chicago.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Again, it's frustrating for fans, I understand. And I would bet you it's frustrating for some people in the Warriors front office. But let's see what if it's a good bet on what they got. Can they get to 9-8, whatever? And, you know, with Utah giving up Olynyk, maybe that's a sign that they're not too interested in staying at 10.
Oh, and they gave up their starting small forward, yep, too, Fontecchio. He's
that's
probably
right,
better
that's
than
right.
Olynyk.
And they're playing the Warriors a bunch of times the rest of the season, so that's really interesting. That might be, just a doorway into the 10 already for the Warriors, so they're, you know, so theoretically in the play-in if they keep playing well.
Can you guys imagine a 9-10 Lakers-Warriors play-in?
Well, they've done this before,
loser,
right?
They did, but it was 7-8. Loser still got the 8. Now then they went and lost to Ja Morant and the Grizzlies, but like a 9-10 Lakers-Warriors would be
the number one ratings of the playoffs in that one ball game. And then it's Kuminga. Like, we can talk about this. It's with trade deadline context. We talk about this all context. It's John Kuminga. Like, can Jonathan Kuminga take the reins and go, I am really a number two. I am absolutely, like, sometimes he really looks like that. Sometimes he doesn't. They sure playing like it, right? Sometimes they just dump him the ball and they get out of his way and go do something. Okay, if you don't, then we start the offense up again. If he can keep doing this, they're a better team. Like, they are not a 10 seed if Kuminga's playing like this. They are not. They're like the 7-6 with a chance to be, you know, a team that the 3 or, you know, does not want to play. It has to happen. We haven't, you know, we've seen, what, 20 games of this from Kuminga, 25 games of this from Kuminga. We all can imagine this is who he is or better. We'll have to see. But that's the context of this. It's like, as they look to 20, I keep saying 24, 25, like, as they look to that, who do you want around Stephen Kuminga? That's kind of, you know, who fits with those two guys? And
Draymond.
Draymond's a key piece of this, no question. But he's a key piece of this. But those two guys are the scorers. Those two guys are like, okay, when we go into playoffs, how are we going to do this offensively? It's those two guys. What fits around them? We know you've got Draymond. And I think Wiggins, after looking like he absolutely did not fit this, 100% did not fit this, now looks like he fits this. And now looks like he fits this great. It's just weird how the NBA works like that. Like, this is a combination that Steve Kerr had essentially given up on. And I understood why he gave up on it. And then Draymond plops back in there. And now it's like, this is the future of the team, which is good for them. You know, it came kind of in the nick of time. But we'll see. We'll see what it is for the rest of the season. If Kuminga keeps growing, this all makes sense. I don't know if they're 1-2-3 seed in a year if Kuminga's really good, but they got a way better shot at it than they had, you know, a month ago. Way, way better shot at it. We're getting pinged
by poor Warriors. Poor Moses
Moody. Well, he's in. He got to play. He got to play some more. But he's
well, you know, I think, you know, I think that'll be part of.
I mean, they got the same issue they had, right? They didn't change anything. So you got the same issues. You got.
True, but
you know,
I think
a 12-man rotation for 8 spots.
Yes, but I think there's more of an internal nudge, whatever you want to call it, to lean younger. And that doesn't mean all, you know, every game, every night, every young guy. Clearly right now, Looney is staying ahead of Trayce Jackson-Davis in the rotation. But Jonathan Kuminga, as we were mentioning, is like now, like, can you even see him playing 18 minutes in a game ever again? No, right? I mean, he just seems like starting 32 minutes. I think Moody, you know,
there's
will,
no time for him at that with Kuminga's
well,
playing 30.
It's a 2. It's a 2 spot. It's the 2
I do.
Spot,
I right? do think you know Clay on certain nights will be 24.
But Chris Paul's coming now. Steph's your 2.
Yeah.
Like,
well, some of it's going to be
there's just no minutes.
Yeah, it's a power forward spot. It's the, all sure. 3 spots. A 2-3-4. It's a 2-3-4.
You know, and some of it, you know, it's going to be night to night with this team. But I just think Steve Kerr is at least in a much more of a willing position to bench veterans for young guys if he feels like it's the correct decision. And I do think, depending on where this last few months goes, if it goes in a more sketchy direction, I think there'll be more and more internal pressure, whatever you want to call it, to see the young guys more. So I don't think it's quite where it was early in the season where Moses Moody could hit three straight threes in Sacramento. And it's like, does it matter? Klay Thompson to the scorer's table. Like that type of stuff, I think is done.
But if Klay Thompson is playing well, these guys aren't playing.
Yep.
If Andrew Wiggins is playing well, these guys aren't playing.
Well, not these guys. I mean, Kuminga's playing. Kuminga's playing.
Yes.
Kuminga. No, I mean, like Moody. I mean, like GP2. I mean, Chris Paul, Brandon Pajemski.
Well, Pajemski's going to find minutes. Kerr's going to find minutes.
I'm just saying.
He's going to find minutes. For
all of them aren't playing, is my point. Like, this was the problem Steve was trying to address earlier. Like, we got to get it down to 9. It's not reasonable. Well, they got that again. And now you're going to add, at some point, Gary Payton and Chris Paul to the mix. So, like, clearly, to me, clearly, Kuminga is in and Pajimski is in. So, you got Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, Clay. You know, where we haven't even mentioned Dario Saric. Where's he playing?
No, he's playing?
His minutes are going down.
Yeah, his minutes are down.
They're going down. That's what I'm saying. Like, so, it feels like, I mean, some of the stuff we thought would be relieved at the trade deadline. But clearly it's not. So now they've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
They're figuring it out, though. I mean,
they've got to try to win, whatever they can do to win. And that's like, you know, early in the year, it didn't matter if Wiggins or Clay was playing not that great. Like, he was going back to them, where now he's on nights they're not, he's not going back to them. And that is a difference. But also, I don't know. I mean, you don't want to completely categorize this season as a throwaway. And sure, there's this outside shot that they make some noise out of the play-in. But in general, like, they're also just like they're not trying to speed up and like chase down a title in a lot of ways. I mean, the players will still attempt to do that, but
they're not chasing wins. Is that what you're saying? Not chasing wins.
Not chasing
they do need to chase wins to get into the play-in, though. Yeah. They can't be they threw away a bunch of games. I think Moody's gonna play. Again, not saying I know it's gonna be 20 minutes a game, but I think the Clay minutes, there's a targeted minutes. Like, they're gonna go down. They've already started to go down. Pajemski is playing more minutes than Clay. I don't know that for a fact, but it just feels like that watching the game. Kuminga almost never comes out anymore. Like, they get him right back in when they possibly can. They gotta score buckets. He's in there. Moody's going to get some minutes in there. Pajemski's going to get some minutes in there. These guys are going to play. Trayce Jackson-Davis, maybe not. And I know that pisses off a lot of Warriors fans. I don't want to be too mean, but he hasn't been that good last few weeks. He hasn't. He drops the ball a lot. If you're going to be a rim runner, if you're going to catch lobs, you can't drop the ball a lot. And he does. Or misses if it's on the right-hand side. He'll make it from the left-hand side. He will not make it from the right-hand side. Maybe he'll figure that out.
You know the term I've heard with Looney that he's just gives better than Trayce at this point is just game plan discipline. And they're obsessed right now with becoming more capable defensively. They're the seventh best defense over the last 8 games. Draymond has a lot to do with that. But like last night in the second quarter, Kevon Looney was really good defensively.
Looney was great.
Well, that's the other thing is if you're going to play Kuminga, who is not necessarily going to have game plan discipline on defense, even now, it's hard to have him out there with TJD if they're both a little off. It's hard. Again, I understand that, you know, Trayce does some things that are really interesting. He is a good rebounder. He does contest shots, but he gets out of position. And you have him out of position and Kuminga out of position or one of them out of position on every series, it's a problem. And Looney is like was bouncing around last night like he was, 25 again, and I guess he's not even that much older than 25 right now, but he was looking very
his
good.
Birthday this week.
Yeah, what is he, 28 now?
28.
It's unbelievable. And
Clay Thompson's birthday today.
Yep, you get why they play him. You just understand when he does stuff like that. And if you just allow that Kerr is kind of like having to say, Kuminga's going to get beat backdoor once or twice a game. That just is going to happen. I need to know that the center is going to be there waiting for him underneath. And that isn't going to always be TJD. So if you can look at it like maximizing Kuminga means you don't necessarily play TJD. That's just kind of the deal they've made. And you need Draymond or Looney out there. You know, I don't think you're going to see him out there with any other center but those two just because of those things. And that maximizes what they can get out of Kuminga. offensively, and then on defense, he can make the big, you know, weak side block. He can do those sort of things. But then I think it's still, I still think Moody's going to play. I think he should play. I think he can play. I think he's been a little bit rusty, you know, understandably last few games, but the guy does good stuff and he can play big. That's what I keep saying. He can play. It's, I do say this, I can be picky about Pajemski because he's such a weird and unique player, and I understand why he's getting minutes, but the guys shoot over him like constantly, and he doesn't take jump shots. And Moody takes jump shots, and he is hard to shoot over. And those are two very valuable things when you've got smaller guards like they do. And you don't want two smaller ones out there all the time because then they get matched on a big wing and they get shot right over. So I think Moody's
going to get Chris Paul.
Yeah, they get shot right over. They do. That's just the way. Chris Paul doesn't like hearing about it. Nine-time defensive team player of the year, whatever. But Moody makes a difference when he's out there, and he's solid, and he's just a big wing.
Marcus Thompson, do you think the veterans at all are like wishing they could have gotten maybe a little bit more reinforcements, or is it like, hey, look, this is there's more of an understandable, hey, we're 11th. Can't just expend all future assets for a team that hasn't proven to be, you know, worthy at this point.
No, I wouldn't have done it for this year. I would have done it with an eye towards next year.
Yeah.
Like if you have, you know,
you would have thrown the boat at Siakam like 2 months ago is what you would have done.
To me, you try to make the moves that instead of trying to put all your eggs in the offseason basket, maybe you do one or two now, because that's really all you got if you don't take advantage of the deadline, and you ain't taking advantage of the next deadline, because if you win it, you're not really hoping. You don't want to take it. You don't want to take advantage of a trade deadline, because that means you're not that good, right? Like that's the situation there now. So I would have liked to see, and you know they did that actually. Corey Joseph, they got a second round pick. They got into the draft. Not that big of a deal, but it's the type of thing that I think you do. Like, all right, what can you do for the future?
What move would have intrigued you more? Like, Kelly Olynyk is a guy they looked at. Caruso, clearly, like, if the Bulls were only going to take Kuminga for him.
They wanted way too much. I'm not doing that for Caruso.
Would you have attempted to jump in the DeJounte Murray sweepstakes, which obviously had no winner because Atlanta wanted a ton for him?
I mean, to me, like, Bogdanovich is intriguing. Like,
I said, which Bogdanovich, by the way? Atlanta?
Oh, yeah. Detroit Pistons.
I agree. The Bogdanovich-Burks package, if that could have been like Wiggins and Moody or something.
You know, return Alec Burks to the Chase Center he built. Mm-hmm. he christened.
I was thinking, where's Glenn Robinson these days, MT? Where's Glenn Robinson?
I think he might be on like the Wisconsin Herd or something. Wow.
MT's guy.
It's my guy, man. They don't like my guys here. I don't know if I would have given it at Wiggins for him, but I do think that, like, to me, that's the kind of piece that, all right, you get him now, and then he becomes pretty valuable in the future. Like, hey, you could see him sticking around and being part of the equation for next year. You kind of give him a taste of what it's like to be with the Warriors and say, all right, let's do this long term. But I agree. There wasn't much out there to make you like, they should have done this. To me, it's just like they had five possibilities they could move on their team. Right? You got Wiggins, you got Chris Paul, you got Moody, you got Looney. You know, I don't know what Starks is worth at his dollar figure, but it feels like you could have done something to say, all right, let's look ahead. Unless you think all these guys are coming back next year and you're gonna figure out where you keep them all. But that's the only criticism I would have. But then it's also probably not possible. And I do think I was just talking to somebody about this. There is something to the fact that teams are not going to help the Warriors unless it helps them. Like, it's got to be a very clear win for them. Like, you get some of this. Do you really want to? I think the Lakers deal with this too. Do you really want to give the Lakers the deal that vaults them back to the top? Like, do you really want to give the Warriors
the
deal?
The Minnesota Timberwolves have been very friendly in the past. So I think there are some teams out there.
I don't know if they will be now, though. I don't think they're offering Jaden McDaniels for
D'Angelo Russell was available out there. To, you know.
Wow, D'Angelo Russell. I can't believe they kept him. To me, the question is, like, now that they've got this team, what do they do on the perimeter with the two small guards? Because you got to play Chris Paul and you got to play Steph. And how do you offset that? Because to me, that's the one major question.
I think you limit Paul's minutes more than he had previously been playing. You play him all the non-Steph minutes. And then the minutes you overlap him and Steph, maybe there's no Clay. You know, maybe it's Steph, Chris Paul, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Yep. And it doesn't have to be that many minutes, right? It could be four and four in, you know, each half. So you get him to, you know, was that 20 minutes? You know, then he's not going to love 20 minutes, but sometimes it's going to be more than 20 minutes. And if he really doesn't like it, okay, too bad. You're going to leave and go to another team. That's okay. I just think they think there's more in Chris Paul. I do think they think that. Maybe it's optimistic because they like him so much. Like, there was some, you know, uncertainty about what he was going to be like in that locker room. We all know it over the offseason. They certainly have had their battles with him. They know he can be a little prickly or a lot prickly, but he dropped in there and they love him. Like, they really like him, and he's bought in, and he's on the bench when he's hurt, and he's cheering them on. He's giving him, you know, discussions, and he and Draymond are talking through the game. So they're going to try it. Maybe it doesn't work out all great. I don't think, you know, listen, I like Quiñones. He's better than Corey Joseph, but can you keep on? Can he really be the guy who gets extra minutes? Is the guard when, you know, Steph's in foul trouble or whatever? I mean, probably not. So they're going to keep looking at it. And I think in the back of their minds, they think they might be able to re-sign him for less. You know, maybe that's not true. Maybe they're completely lying to themselves. But I think they think, like, okay, if we want one more run, unbelievable with a, you know, 38-year-old point guard, can we say one more run and it's Steph and CP3 and Draymond and all that thing? I think they could do that. And maybe Klay Thompson's the one who's the casualty of that. Maybe. You know, see how it goes.
I don't see Paul doing that. Play it's 40 minutes a night, not starting.
Yeah, it probably have to be more than 20 minutes. Like, yeah, it'd have to be not, more than 20, more 20
that's
minutes.
That's what but, I'm I mean, saying. Like, this is Chris Paul.
But man, is there a starting job out there for him right now? Like, I guess Orlando, maybe. I don't know. You want to cut into the minutes of their young guards, though? I mean, I'm not sure. San Antonio, I mean, I would love to see him and Wembanyama would be wonderful to see. I just don't know that San Antonio isn't that. Like, there maybe there are openings for him, but they're not a lot, and they're not going to be for $35 million a year. So again, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen in July. I just think in the back of the minds of Warriors, like, you know, it wouldn't be terrible to see if Chris Paul wants to come back. I would say he would be a higher priority than Clay would be in their minds. And I don't want this aggregated. I'm just throwing it out there. But like, if you
that's
had to get
aggregated,
yeah, it's aggregated. Yeah.
I wouldn't agree, but you know, that's just us having, you know, it's semantics.
But aggregate that part, yeah. So
yeah.
No, I mean, Clay means so much to them. Clay, yeah. Obviously, I don't want to discount that part. And he can turn around and have a good game like he did last night. And he can fight on the, you know, he fights on defense against bigger guys. And that is very valuable to them. We talk about who's their backup power forward, and sometimes it's Clay. But I don't know. You know, I just, you know, again, who knows what they're going to want? Who knows what's going to be on their minds? I think it might be one or the other, though. If you're saying this team should not be a $400 million
team. It's dependent
team
on money and then options. You know, what could Chris Paul potentially get you, you know, you know, trading him? And that's so much has to play out. And we can almost wrap there because I got to get to this game tonight, which, by the way, is going to be very difficult for them. You know, fifth game on a five-game trip back-to-back in India.
I was also thinking, like, that's another reason why you don't make a big trade is how many players would you have available for this game? If you'd made a two-for-two trade, you would have very few people available to play. So,
and they're going after it tonight. All the vets are playing, you know, on a game that maybe normally would profile as a night they rest some of their guys. So,
I mean, it's a big game. It changes the tenor of the road trip.
4-1 road trip, and the one being an overtime loss that they should have won.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, look, they're 5-3 in their last eight, and their three losses are the 2 1-point losses at home to the Kings and Lakers, and then the overtime loss in Atlanta. So
they stink in overtime, by the way. They just stink.
I think 1-4 this year, and that dates back a long time. But yeah, I don't know. Somewhat of a bland deadline, not only for the Warriors, but really for the league, I thought.
There was action today. You know, it was action. It was Knicks.
It was action.
Yeah, but it wasn't. It wasn't the big. The stuff happened already.
You wasn't moved by Spencer Dinwiddie, man. He's about to get bought out now. The Spencer Dinwiddie sweepstakes.
One thing I should say with the Spencer Dinwiddie sweepstakes or the Joe Harris sweepstakes, the Warriors, because of where they are financially, cannot sign those guys. They can do other buyout guys, but if anybody's over the non-taxpayer mid-level on their current contract, the Warriors are ineligible.
But they can sign buyout guys for the minimum, correct?
Well, they can sign them for the minimum, but only if they were not.
If their contract if were before.
Oh, really? Right? Oh, really?
Like Spencer Dinwiddie's contract.
They can, Yeah. Didn't know that. Okay.
Joe Harris is the same. His contract was too high. So if he gets bought out, the Warriors cannot
get him. Good to know. Good to know.
That's one of the many new rules that are coming with this second apron that will limit teams. That's why the Warriors want to, among the many reasons.
I think that's why they're getting under second apron. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. All right.
Later. Get to the ball game.
All right, see y'all.